superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoking crack!
It is World Hockey Report, presented by Lorco Auto Parts, your trusted supplier of quality aftermarket auto parts and accessories since 1974. Cody Jansen with you, and we got a packed show for you today. But remember, you got to make Lorco Auto Parts your go-to auto parts store. The doors are open 7 days a week. View store hours and services at lordco.com. A lot of prairie talk. We'll talk Oilers, we'll talk Flames, we'll talk Canucks as well. Our guests on the show, Henry Wright's going to join us from the morning skate in about 20 minutes. It's time. That's Issa Jeromey coming from the Hockey Podcast Network. He'll join us for the last segment. First one, though, Evan Cook, right out of the City of Champions, 630 Chit. Probably my favorite Alberta Morning News host, too. We'll throw him a shameless plug there. Evan is going to join the show right now as we talk Oilers. And, you know, first of all, I just want your thoughts on that Battle of Alberta game on Saturday, because I felt like for Oilers fans, and you're on the pulse as much as anyone, you know, the vibe around the team really shifted, where it was like, should we trade McDavid? To all of a sudden, it's like, okay, who can we acquire to make a playoff run? It flipped so quick.
Yeah, it sure did. First off, Cody, good to talk to you. Appreciate being here with you. You know, it is interesting, like you mentioned, that game where there was just such a sigh of relief around the Oilers. Obviously, that team needed a win as bad as any team I've seen in a long time needed a win. Not to mention, obviously, their record not having won since mid-December, but obviously against the Flames too. That ups the ante no matter what the situation is. And so, yeah, for that game, boy, just a sigh of relief. As far as looking a little closer at that game, you know, Oilers come away with the victory, all well and good there. But I think if you take a closer look at that game, you know, there's still lots you wonder about with the Oilers. I thought in that game, the Flames were the team that had the better scoring chances throughout the 60 minutes of that one. Calgary easily could have come away with a win there. And so I think big sigh of relief if you're an Oilers fan, but yeah, it's still not looking like a team that's out of it quite yet.
So what is your thoughts on the goaltending? Because Mikko Koskinen, he starts the year like 13-8-1, and quite possibly it could be the worst performance by any goalie who starts at 13-8-1. But I also don't think you can run this guy out of town knowing that your other goaltender is 39 and injury prone, and your third string is a guy who's got, what, 2 wins in the NHL? 3 wins?
Yeah.
You know, it's... What, are you chasing out the wrong guy at this point is kind of my question.
I definitely think that's a big part of what's at play. But when I look at a situation like this, something I always try and look at is, okay, is the player that is under the microscope in these situations, are they being set up for success? And I think Mikko Koskinen has been the guy that has given you flashes of good goaltending, even some smaller stretches of good goaltending. You know, you think back to even the start of the year last year when he was pressed into action right away, didn't miss a start in the first dozen games or so last season. This year, he's had his moments as well. He certainly did not let the team down in front of him with the early winning ways that the Oilers got off to. I thought he had a strong performance a lot of the night on Saturday night there. I think just what it comes down to Koskinen is the question clearly with him has become, can he take the starters' reins and run with them? Mike Smith obviously came back from injury last season to have that really incredible run that he did. This season has not at all worked out like that. And I think the prevailing thought on Koskinen, and I think he's given you the body of work to show that he's not really going to be that guy to take the starter's reins and run with them. And, you know, just with the Mike Smith situation, it's a tough one because, you know, is he being put in a spot for success. There is no plan A the Oilers drew up before this season started where Koskinen was your number one guy. But obviously, I think he just hasn't got his team's confidence, and I think that's the biggest thing. Looking at his team, it's a team that's not playing with a whole lot of confidence in front of their goaltender. And at the end of the day, I think that's the most important thing. You know, people can go back and analyze Koskinen goal by goal and say, okay, should have had that one. Maybe should have made this mistake. But I think when you just look at the overall confidence of the team in front of him, it's not a team that's playing with a heck of a lot of confidence in terms of who their starting goaltender is right now.
Okay, I love hypotheticals, Evan. And so I'm going to throw this one off of you. If the Oilers, they get to the playoffs here, Mikko Koskinen's your starter for whatever reason. Maybe he's playing good. Maybe everyone else in the world is injured. If Mikko Koskinen wins you two rounds in the playoffs, if the Oilers go to the Western Conference Final, what do you do with him? Because he's a UFA. You don't want to let that guy walk, essentially, if everyone in the dressing room likes him. But there's still an upgrade kind of needed. But I don't know where that upgrade comes from. Is Darcy Kuemper that upgrade when he can't stay healthy? So I don't know. I just want to throw that off you. If Koskinen wins you two playoff series, what's the play?
No, I like that hypothetical. Because, I mean, first off, if Koskinen wins you two playoff series, that is so over and above the expectations right now that obviously is worth a second look. I think for what the Oilers see from him, I think the times that he's performed the best for them is when he's been in that strong tandem situation with Smith, when the Oilers coaching staff can kind of go back and forth between them, see who's got the hot hand, throw them in that way. When the spotlight isn't so squarely fixed on him, I think that is the time that he's performed the best. So I think the big debate, you know, if Koskinen were to go out and win the two playoff series, is I don't think there's a huge debate about trying to bring him back, obviously on a contract that's a little bit more friendlier to the team. But I think more of the debate around that would be, okay, what exactly is the role? Do you give him the starter's job and let him run with it? I'm not sure that's still the best play, even in that scenario. But do you try and bring him back on a deal and in a situation where he's more comfortable, where he's more part of a tandem? I think if that did happen, the biggest thing is that it would make the Oilers' decision to move on from Mike Smith easier, that's for sure.
It's Cody Jansen with you today from the ProDoc Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31 underscore and the show at World Hockey RPT. Talking with Evan Cook right now about the Oilers. Now, obviously, Dave Tippett's seat got a little hot, but I want to know, I don't think they're going to make a move in season, but when it does happen, let's talk, I mean, could be the offseason, could be a year away, could be 2 years away, could be a month away. We can't predict the future. Who would you like to see as the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers? Is it Jay Woodcroft? Is it Mike Babcock? Do you go out of left field? And I don't even know who you could target. Like, you're not going to bring back Quenneville or any of those guys. I don't. Who do you think? Who's your front runner?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one. First I'll quickly touch on Tippett, because I know that the vultures were certainly starting to circle as the losses piled up. I don't know about you. I was never sold by the rumors of an imminent coaching change. I think, of course, if they lose that game against Calgary last Saturday night, then things do get a lot more serious and a lot more dire, even hinging on that one game in Edmonton. But you know, just looking at the way that the team has communicated about the coaching situation, you know, you've got Ken Holland in place. He's got a history of not wanting to make mid-season coaching moves. And so it was an interesting situation there for sure. But yeah, I never bought into some of the hype that was being swirled around the team in terms of an imminent coaching change. I'm not surprised that as we're sitting here talking towards the end of January, that Dave Tippett is still the head coach of this team. As far as hypothetical coaches coming up, I mean, I think Jay Woodcroft is obviously an excellent option. Has done real good things with that AHL squad down in Bakersfield. I mean, it's always such a tough thing for organizations to handle up-and-coming coaching talent, too, because if you've got the guy that really works with talent well, really works with your prospects well, you kind of want them in the A, but obviously know that they're going to have to get a shot looking into the NHL at some point. Mike Babcock, I don't think if that is a scenario that the Oilers want to wade into. I think if they were to make a coaching change, they would just want a situation that is not going to really draw the ire of folks before he even coaches his first game or before he even goes into his first training camp with the team. You know, in terms of free agent coaches right now, that there's always a guy like Claude Julien who is going to be wanting to get back behind an NHL bench. So, yeah, you wonder about that. But, you know, going back to your hypothetical from a question before, you know, I think all it takes to really get the spotlight off of Tippett is, you know, go win a playoff series or two. If his team can do that, I think the calls for his job will diminish greatly.
Fully agree. I think one of the other names that maybe has been thrown around, but not as serious as Glenn Gulletson, who's already an assistant coach. He's had two stints as a head coach in the league. And also our next guest, Henry Wright from the Morning Skate, he wrote an article about, you know, interesting choices. And Mike Hastings at Minnesota State University, Mankato, who, you know, he's running a successful program there. He did sign a 10-year deal. So, I mean, he's midway through that contract. But again, you get the chance to coach in the NHL. Probably not going to turn that down. Had a lot of success with the U.S. junior team, too. I just don't think this is the team where you should be taking a risk on developing a coach. You know, this is a win-now group if I've ever seen it. And, you know, the last Oilers question I have for you, Evan, is Evander Kane. You know, if he signs, which all signs are pointing towards that, if he signs in Edmonton, does that move the needle enough for this team, or are they still a starting goaltender and defenseman away from winning a playoff series this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting situation in terms of the Evander Kane. I mean, first off, I think we have to call a spade with the Evander Kane sweepstakes in that if you bring him in, if the Oilers do, you know, there is a portion of your fan base that you're alienating with that move.
Okay, if it doesn't work out where Evander Kane comes in, he's a pain in the ass, he's a prick in the dressing room, does that mean that's Ken Holland's job right there? Like, is Ken Holland putting his job on the line by signing Evander Kane?
I think that's the greater question, isn't it? Because There has been much documented about the previous history of Evander Kane. And so we all like a good second chance story. We all like that sort of redemption tour and being able to see that. But is Kane in a place where he's ready to do that fully, where he wants to embrace that kind of new demeanor fully? Obviously, those questions can only be answered by those closest to him, but it's answers that the Oilers would need, you would think, hypothetically, if they were going to sign him. And so I think, absolutely, if he is to be signed at Edmonton and really flames out like he has in a couple of his previous stops along the NHL way, I think that's a spot that, as a general manager, I just am not sure that you want to be in, especially because for the Oilers this season, you know, things would have to turn back around in a hurry. Things would have to turn back around and look a lot closer to what they did the start of the season to give anyone confidence that this team's got a big playoff run in them. And so, you know, adding a guy like Kane, where you think you're going to go deep in the playoffs anyway, maybe he's a guy that can push you to the promised land. Well, that's one thing. But I think for this team, there's just so many questions right now about even are they even going to win a playoff series this year, that it just becomes such a greater gamble, I think.
Totally fair. Couldn't have said any better. Evan Cook, my guest here on World Hockey Report. We got to talk about the team down the QE2, and that's the Calgary Flames as well. They just kicked the St. Louis Blues teeth in with Jordan Binnington in goal. And they're looking like a good team, But good teams don't always go that far in the playoffs. Are you convinced that Calgary has a chance to get over the hump this year? Or are they going to get to the actual dance and we're going to realize, hey, there's still the soft Calgary Flames that can't do anything when the games get extra meaningful?
Yeah, you know what? This Calgary Flames team sure is interesting. And I think that there are two areas that kind of give me optimism when I look at them. When it comes to a potential playoff run, first is just there are players on this team. There is a core on this team that has playoff experience. Sure, prior playoff appearances have not gone as well for the Flames as they have wanted to, but there are guys that have had that taste of postseason play, been there before, and I think that could potentially bode well for them if they get into the playoffs. I think the other big one is the goaltending. Jacob Markstrom has been excellent this season, and we only have to look back a season ago to see what happens in the playoffs, Montreal Canadiens, when you get a really hot goaltender, a team that's playing fairly well in front of them, and you can see the run that a team like that can go on in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I think, obviously, this Flames team, much like the Oilers, right? There are depths. There are some depth holes that can be pointed to. That's for sure. But I think in terms of a complete group, this is probably the most optimistic I've been for the Flames in a few years now.
I got one more for you, and that's just we're kind of, witnessing something, and I don't want to say greatness. I don't want to say one of the most incredible feats in hockey history or anything. Like, I don't want to blow it out of proportion. But Keith Yandel playing 965 straight games to pass Doug Jarvis for the Ironman record. It's insane to think about, Evan. Since March of like 2009, he hasn't missed a single game. You think about all the things he's probably played through. We know about some of the injuries where, he's had leg injuries. He's had 9 teeth knocked out and he's playing the next afternoon. It's absolutely insane. And I want to know from your perspective, like, how much do you respect this? Like, where do you put this up with all-time accomplishments? Because, it's just insane. It's 965 straight games, Evan.
Cody, what's kind of funny about this is I feel like the Ironman stuff can kind of be a little bit take it or leave it in terms of fans, right? Because you look at it and say, okay, 965 games, but there's no advanced statistics to attach to that, right? It's just games played, and that's it. So people, I think, sometimes go, oh yeah, that's cool, and then kind of move on. But this is really, really something for Keith Yandel. And I think the interesting thing about this is the more people inside the game, within the game of hockey that you talk to about this, you really get a good idea about how much something like this is respected amongst, especially fellow players. I mean, 965 games, you remember a few seasons ago now, I guess it was, when Andrew Cogliano was chasing this, right? And he got suspended. And it was a controversial suspension at the time. George Perros took some heat for that. But it was such a big thing. Remembering how emotional Cogliano was after that, just based on the fact that this was something that he was not going to be able to chase again. So I think this record is incredible. I think the guys playing within the game, it's definitely on their radar. I think there's a ton of respect around the game for something like this. And I think it's worth shouting out for Keith Yandel too. I mean, obviously he's had a ton of success throughout his career, but it hasn't all been sunshine and rainbows too. I mean, the Florida Panthers were basically trying to evict him from their hockey team before he was able to sign on with Philadelphia. And so, in spite of all that sort of swirling around him during the tail end of his time with the Panthers, for him to be able to string this together and, set a record, it's insane. Big ups to Keith Yandel.
Well, I think you appreciate it as much as I do. It is pretty incredible. Evan, thank you so much for your time, man. Appreciate talking to you as always.
Hey, Cody, thanks for this. Appreciate it, man.
Henry Wright is next. Stay tuned. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co Auto Parts. Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer? Well, you can experience the conference championships with the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is a safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win 280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania. Only new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a Pro Rock.
What we do here is go back.
Coming in hot, it's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen with you. And World Hockey Report is presented by Lord Co Auto Parts. Visit Lord Co's in-store truck centers at select locations today. We're coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31_ and the show at World Hockey RPT. Great conversation earlier with Evan Cook, still to come on the show. Isha Jerome from the Hockey Podcast Network. But now let's snap it over to the Morning Skates. Edmonton Oilers writer Henry Wright joins us now from Ontario. Henry, let's start with this team's performance over the past 2 months. It's been disappointing. There hasn't been many bright spots outside of the win over Calgary. But from your perspective, where does the blame lie? Is it on Ken Holland for building the team the way it is? Is it on Mikko Koskinen and Stuart Skinner for not being able to shoulder the load without having Mike Smith there? Is it on the offense for going cold at times? I want your breakdown, Henry.
Yeah, I think it's really a lot of what you said. Obviously, it starts with goaltending, but the big issue lately. But that's directly the fault of management in failing to acquire a real goalie. As great as Mike Smith was last year, he's old, and at this age, he's been hurt most of the season. And when he's been playing, he's been average. So you can't be expecting him to save you. Mikko Koskinen, you can blame that on Peter Chiarelli all you want. He's a backup goalie, and he's a decent backup goalie, but getting starting minutes, that's not going to work. And obviously, some of the blame has to go to the forwards as well. It's tough to blame Draisaitl and McDavid. I never will. But the depth has been pretty awful. Outside of Brandon Perlini, no one's really doing anything outside of the top two guys there. So it's been an all-around effort of doing horrible. I don't know what else to say about their performance, but there are a lot of reasons that you can point to, but I think management is where it all starts.
So you wrote an article about Dave Tippett. You know, if he's on the hot seat, who is to replace him? And you threw out some interesting names, of course. Glenn Gulletson, Jay Woodcroft, those guys are going to be on there. Your Claude Julien, who's doing international work now. You know, you had the Minnesota State coach on there. I'm not quite sure it's ready to take a gamble on a coach at this stage. But do you think that if you replace the coach right now, things change? Because I feel like if you're going to leave Claude Julien with the same goaltending situation and depth situation, nothing's going to change, in my opinion. Or am I wrong?
I think it would be asking too much to assume that things would change immediately and that it would be just this big turnaround, because I do think you're right. This is a pretty bad situation that a coach would be coming into. I think the big changes that a coach would provide would be giving some of the younger guys more minutes. You see in past years and this year too, a lot of guys like Evan Bouchard last year not getting any ice time. A lot of just their better younger players. You might see some more call-ups like Marody, get more ice time from McLeod, Benson. I just think taking advantage of their young talent is the main thing that a new head coach should do. But that's a very fair point. I don't think a new head coach would cause a huge turnaround. It can't just be a new head coach. It has to be a new coach or manager at this point.
That's fair. And I think if you go that route, it almost becomes a full out rebuild again. Not like a complete rebuild, but you get what I'm saying when you're starting from scratch. And that's not what this team should be doing with the likes of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You know, they're too good to be going back to square one. Now, one of the players that's been talked about, and he's kind of being on the hot seat because of a player that you named in Evan Bouchard, is Tyson Barrie. Do you think he's a movable piece? Do you think he's a piece that should be in play come trade deadline for the Oilers? Would you be comfortable in seeing him go out the door if it means they can package it together for a goaltender or another, maybe a top six forward, maybe a middle six forward that can, you know, provide a little bit more offensive output?
Yeah, you know, Tyson Barrie has really, really struggled offensively in his time at Edmonton. I haven't been a huge fan of his play. I love the guy, but he hasn't helped the team on defense much. But if there's one thing he can do, it's the power play. He's fantastic on that. And there are teams in this league who could really use that. And I think if the Oilers were able to talk their way into something, they could get something at least okay for Barrie. So, yeah, I would love to see them shop him around. They have defensive depth. At this point, if you're going to go for a run, you've got pieces you can bring up. You send Legison to waivers, and then now he's in the AHL, but that's a guy you like. Worst case, you're playing Broberg. I think Tyson Barrie's an expendable piece on this team and someone that they could get at least something for.
Well, I mean, with Bouchard's couple of power play goals against Calgary, too, I think you can kind of see what you're getting in a future piece there. So why not just ride him a little bit, especially if this season's going haywire like it has for the past couple of months? What can it hurt at this point? And another piece you also blogged about him, it's Evander Kane. And I want to know, you know, are you for, are you against it? Do you think it's a last ditch effort by Ken Holland? I don't know. I want your breakdown on Evander Kane potentially signing in Edmonton.
I mean, I guess the big thing with Evander Kane and the Oilers is the McDavid conference, where he says that he doesn't really care about the off ice issues. And as a player, you got to understand where he's coming from. You know, he's played with nothing but mediocre wingers his whole career. And just at first glance, you understand what he's saying, but personally, I wouldn't want Evander Kane on the Oilers. This is not a guy that's really proven to be helpful to the teams he's been on. I think he's a fantastic hockey player, but the Oilers have a lot of issues, and Evander Kane wouldn't solve any of them.
So who would you like to see them target then? If you could pick one forward and one goalie who you think are pieces that teams would move, who do you think they should be going after before the trade deadline?
That's an interesting one there. There are a lot of guys forward to who are really interesting. Obviously, at the top tier there, you look at Vladimir Tarasenko. I don't think the Oilers have the pieces or the money to get him, but, you know, a top-tier goal scorer like that is someone you'd want. More realistically, maybe a vet on a reasonably cheap deal like Phil Kessel would be ideal. He's a winger. He's proven he can play with good players. I think he'd work pretty well in the the middle six for the Oilers, put him with someone like Fogle and maybe the new center. And then at goalie, it's a pretty dry market right now. I personally am a Stuart Skinner fan, but I don't think he's ready to be the full-time starter yet. So looking around the league, you got a lot of guys like Braden Holtby, depending on how Dallas is feeling about that. They got Hudobin and Holtby, but it kind of feels like Holtby's the guy right now. Obviously, there's been all the talk about Kemper the last few years, but now that he's in Colorado, that's out the window. So at this point, the options feel pretty limited. But personally, I'd try and send the house for someone that's at least competent. I don't know how the Hawks feel about Fleury long term, but if they'll take something from him, the Oilers need goaltending bad. So
I just don't know if Fleury's actually on the market for the Oilers. Like, I don't know if he's moving a no trade clause to join a team that has, three wins in their last 2 months of hockey. I just don't see a veteran like that being like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll just go there and lose more games and have to play more hockey and uproot my family that I already did to Chicago unwillingly. I could see Fleury accepting a trade to Colorado. And maybe that, move some marbles that, maybe Kemper becomes available. But again, Kemper's a UFA. So if he comes to Edmonton short term and says, I'm not sure this team's winning anytime soon, is he just going to bail? I don't know. I don't have confidence in someone, being acquired that doesn't have term. I guess that's kind of what would scare me from a goaltending position.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point. And I think you see a lot of names like Alex Gorgiev getting thrown around. And even Korpisalo. Those are some good young goalies. But, my issue therein lies that realistically, I don't know how much better these guys are than Skinner, and you're going to have to give up something for them. So, yeah, like you said, it would be tough to get a guy like Fleury. Ideally, you want a good guy. You've heard talk around Varlamov. I don't know if, the Islanders would be willing to send him to Edmonton. You'd have to see what the deal is like. He realistically, he's only under contract for one more year, but the Islanders aren't paying him too much for a real solid goalie. So at this point, I think the Oilers are kind of in goaltending purgatory. I don't know, what their plan is. I love Skinner for a year or two from now. I'm fine with Koskinen as a backup if you're not paying him what you're paying him, but you are paying him what you're paying him as a starter. So it's a tough situation, and I don't really see any outs for the Oilers right now.
Would you go after Jonathan Quick? And I know the money doesn't perfectly add up. You'd have to package more than you would like. But if you had to give up, Mikko Koskinen, maybe Xavier Bourgault or, another high-end prospect. I'm not saying Broberg. You don't want to be playing against that kid. But like a Sam Rukov, a Nima Leinen. Would you give up a hefty package right now for Jonathan Quick? Do you think that's on the cards with the season he's having in LA? Do you think he's got one more run in him that could give the Oilers some life?
It's one of those situations where you want to say you don't want to mortgage the future, obviously, but it's at a point where the Oilers kind of have to mortgage the future. You can't be wasting these prime McDavid and Dreisaitl years. And yeah, those names you flew around, I think I'd add in Carter Savoie there. I think he might get some eyes on him after the season he's having. So, if the Kings are willing to part ways with Quick for, Koskinen and a few decent prospects, then I'll take that. The Oilers desperately need stability in net. I'd be a little bit concerned about Quick's, stability in a new situation. This might sound ridiculous, but when you play somewhere for so long, you never know how you're going to turn out when you come across the border. So it's kind of a toss up, but yeah, I would look into that if I were the Oilers. I'd be looking into it actively right now. Ken Hall got to do something to save his job. So
I got one more for you. It's Dylan Holloway. He had 3 assists in his first 2 American League games after coming back from surgery. Do you foresee him being a top 9 forward on this team by the end of the season? Do you think that he has an opportunity to be an impact player on the Edmonton Oilers in 2022?
I think Dylan Holloway, the hockey player, does. But the issue is that he plays for the Edmonton Oilers, and I don't foresee someone like Dave Tippett giving him that time. When your job's on the line, you'll really do anything to save it. So, maybe something happens there, but right now it's, I wouldn't bet on it. I love what he's done. He was incredible with Michigan, with Wisconsin. Great first game in Bakersfield, but coming off a long-term injury like that, I don't see Dave Tippett, you know, really giving him the light of day too much. But, you know, never say never. Hopefully he changes his ways and starts letting good young players play.
That's an interesting point. Producer Jeff, you better be clipping that one and chucking it on social media. Henry, what's coming up for you? You're writing for the morning skate. You're going to school right now. You got any articles in the works that we can tease or plug what's coming out next for you? I know you got the redrafting, the last 10 Oilers first round picks. You got that one out there. That's awesome. But anything else in the works?
Yeah, so like you said, I got that Oilers redraft there today. But the next thing I'm looking to be working on is a Holland-Shirelli comparison. It might seem a little bit aggressive, but, you know, years of Holland have been pretty bad, so we'll see how those two stack up. But, yeah, that's, you know, right for the morning skate about the Oilers. Check my stuff out there, and that's about it.
Love it, Henry. Appreciate the time today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Isha Jerome is next. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Coil Parts. Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Not a new customer? Well, you can experience the conference championships with the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is a safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania. Only new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a Pro Rock.
What we do here is go back.
It's Cody Jansen. World Hockey Report is presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. Friend of the show, Isha Jerome, he's going to hop on now. He is one of the co-founders of the Hockey Podcast Network, the best place to find podcasts on every team in the NHL. Of course, if you're using DraftKings, punch in promo code THPN. Get yourself a nice discount today. Isha, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Cody? Happy to be here as always. How are you? We haven't talked since the new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year as well. I know it's been a while. It was a crazy start to the new year. Like, all of a sudden, World Juniors went crazy. Then, you know, maybe a little battle with the vid here and there. You know, a lot of new things going on work-wise for me, so it's been busy. But as always, try and make time to listen to the Soda Pod. You and Hoppy still crushing out some funny casts there. Love seeing the clips as well. You tag us in. It's always great work coming to the Hockey Podcast Network. I think that's one of my favorite things about THPN, and not to pump your tires any more than you need, but it's something different. Like, every show has a different dynamic to it, right? Like, when you watch some shows from certain networks, we're not going to call anyone out. They all got the same vibe. But you don't get that at all when you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network shows, because all the hosts are so different.
Yeah, I mean, by all means, pump away, because it's just free advertising. But no, and that's what we love here. I think that's what differentiates us from some of the other bigger networks, is everyone is an independent, you know, creator, content creator, and we all are under the same umbrella to help each other, you know, lift the tide, so to speak, and, you know, cross promote, collaborate, the whole nine yards. And it's really cool that everyone has their independent niche, all under the same umbrella, helping each other out.
Okay, and it's been so long since I've actually got your opinion on something. We have to go way back to the start of the month. That outdoor game, St. Louis, Minnesota. I mean, I'm sorry, I guess, as you are a Wild guy, but also, like, that was pretty cool for the NHL, and I'm not a huge advocate for outdoor games.
No, but I think in the right circumstance, in the right city, in the right arena, it can be straight up magical. Like the first three that the NHL did. I mean, I'm biased because I just absolutely loved the HBO coverage of it when HBO had the contract with the NHL at the time and did like the Road to the Winter Classics. Like, those were epic, and those sold that game so much because you watched the two episodes leading up and then you watched the two after. And like, I remember I like marked the calendar off with some friends to watch both of those games when, you know, when I was watching that documentary respectively. And then it just worked out, you know, when, you know, Sidney Crosby scoring the goal for the Penguins, and I believe it was overtime, and it starts snowing. But then on the other side, you have a freaking quote-unquote heritage classic in Vancouver at BC Place. Like, there's no snow there. It's not even really outside at all, sort of thing. So I think keep it to the places in the markets, like the Minnesotas, for example. I know they do it Chicago and stuff all the time. But hey, it's a good market to do so. Same with like Detroit, those Eastern, you know, North American cold big cities that kind of have a hockey history to them. I mean, you can't think of a better place than Minnesota. So they were so pumped. Like, the market was so excited. They were out there in freaking, what is it, like -40 Celsius. They didn't care. They were drinking their beers and watching the sport they love.
So yesterday was actually like the 9-year anniversary of the outdoor game in California, which I went to at Dodger Stadium. Ducks, Kings, worst hockey game ever. It was just a terrible setup. It was.
Hey, didn't KISS open for them?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
It
was way too late. Like, you know, I mean, if you would have seen KISS, you know, 20 years before or something, I think you would have been stoked to see them. To see them.
You want
to
hear
2013. Okay, continue.
I've seen KISS 5 times.
No way. You're a huge KISS guy.
KISS Army, what up?
I rip them every time I talk about that game. I'm like, it was so overhyped. And then half the time they're playing like beach volleyball and stuff beside too. So it was such a weird dynamic.
It's such a gimmick, right? It's just such a gimmick. It's like, it's the winter classic. Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not Coachella. Come on.
Oh, I know. And like, there was like live rock bands all around the stadium too. Like, it was kind of fun, but it was also kind of weird. We're like, weren't 21 at the time, you know, we went as a hockey team. And so, you know, you kind of have to be like under control, cause like the coaches and I think the owner was there too. So like, it was stupid, but like, it was just weird. And it was so hard to see the game. Like, Dodger Stadium's not an ideal setup, and we definitely weren't sitting in the best seats in the world, but yeah, could live without an outdoor classic in California again, and I think the NHL would certainly agree with me. Now, back to the Wild, though. Kaprizov, you know, Minnesota, they love him and all. Fiala's kind of winning some people over. Is this a team that you think can really hold up, you know, with some of the heavyweights in the Central or what? Because, I mean, I'm starting not to think that they're still got a little bit of pretender status. I'm not going to lie, but it's fading away.
I don't think it's pretender. I think that they're just like, they're a great team in the National Hockey League. Are they an elite team? No, right? They're a few pieces off, but they're a great team. So yeah, they can dance with the big boys for sure. And they've proven that they can do it in the last 5 games, or the last strand of their 5 games. Anyways, I predicted that they were going to sweep the Blackhawks and that they were probably only going to lose to the Avs out of the teams there. And they still were able to sneak a point away. They have tremendous goaltending, right? They got a 1A and 1B tandem in Kakkonen and Talbot. And I firmly believe Talbot is perfectly fits that system and that he's one of the best goaltenders this year because of the defense that plays in front of them. They are so deep offensively that essentially they have 3 second lines or three like really, really good third lines, right? And then a fourth line that can be matched up against top lines and, you know, really cause some damage out there. So they're a hard team to play against. They really are. Do they have all the scoring talent to get them over the edge? That's where I don't think they have that yet, but it's coming. I mean, you look at Fiala this year, and I know, Cody, you're not the biggest fancy stat guy, but if you look at both the eye test and the fancy stat, Fiala was doing everything not only right but outstanding other than just putting the puck in the back of the net. He's had such bad puck luck this year because he's had no one to play with. He's been having to do everything on his line. Insert Matt Boldy, who, funny enough, is not even a center. And those two wingers, Fiala and Boldy, have had tremendous chemistry. When the Wild eventually get a center, whether it's via trade, whether they, you know, sacrifice Fiala in that piece to acquire a center, or the day Marco Rossi pops, like, this team is going to be so dangerous.
So you see Minnesota, they put up 27 goals in their last five games or something stupid. And then you see elite talent like Edmonton has. They've got two of the best players in the world struggle to score on what seems to be a nightly basis for the past 2 months. Does that give you a little bit more hope to say, hey, you know, maybe we got a chance to win a playoff series in the Central if we can get a wild card team from the Pacific? Or, you know, I don't know. I just want to know your thoughts kind of going into playoffs where you're like, well, if we do end up, you know, somehow finishing top in the Central or, you know, just getting a favorable matchup, we got a chance to win a round or two here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they get a wild card pick in the Pacific, they're laughing. Honestly, no disrespect to the best players in the National Hockey League right now, and McDavid and Draisaitl. Like, I never criticize them. I just criticize the Oilers, right? It's not their fault. They're doing everything right. Then, you know, right now maybe they're right now they're fed up, and it's going to affect their game. Okay, fair. Maybe I am. Again, I don't want to put all the onus on them because the team is not constructed properly, and I didn't even think they're going to make the playoffs this year. Honestly, I thought they would be like fourth or like maybe third if they're lucky, if the Flames really, really fell off, and the Flames aren't doing that great this year, but you know what I mean. And in the Central, I mean, the Central is harder. It's obviously better than the Pacific, and I think they're going to be some harder matchups there. But I think, again, they can contend with anyone in the Central but the Avs if it's going to be, obviously a seven-game series. I think they can. It's going to be a hard one against the Blues, but I think they can take them. Nashville's the biggest pretender right now. Like, yeah, this year their players are playing the best that they've, you know, that I mean, the Duchesnes and stuff like that, who we've called overrated for so long, they're actually playing up to their contracts and abilities this year. But are they going to go far in the playoffs? I mean, Jussi Saros is the one who will decide that or not. But again, I think the Wild can beat the Predators. The Stars are a joke this year. The Jets have been a joke this year, and the Blackhawks aren't, and the Oilers aren't going anywhere. So there you go right there. It's Avs and Wild, in my opinion, top of the Central. And then Pacific, I mean, realistically, man, the Golden Knights are the only ones you really have to fear in that division. So they're lucky this year that, A, they're deserving their spots in the standing. They're deserving their wins, but they're also lucky that, okay, there's not much coming out of the Pacific, and realistically, we can contend with anyone in the Central.
That's a fair breakdown. I don't hate that at all. I think that Colorado, the one thing they don't have is consistent goaltending. And to win in the playoffs, you kind of need that. It's a similar thing with Vegas. Yeah, well, the Wild have got it. That's for sure. And at times, Cam Talbot has been the guy. So, you know, I think there's definitely a chance for the Wild to surprise a few teams, although they do have to make a couple of, I think they've played like five games less than like Nashville and St. Louis, though. Like,
Cody, their schedule is insane. Yeah, they basically play every second night in the next like 100 days. I think they play like, what was it, like 50 games or something? Like, it's something crazy.
Yeah, I thought I saw they played like 38 games in the final like 74 days. It was a pretty wild stat. People were misquoting, though. I think someone messed up, or maybe that was the Blues. Someone messed it up. I know Minnesota's got a crazy schedule as well. One thing a little bit closer, since we've lost every single listener now that, you know, doesn't like the Minnesota Wild, but big news at Vancouver. I mean, it's the province of BC. It's a pretty big thing, but assistant general manager, they named Emily Castonguay as, you know, the first female in franchise history to take
take that role. She's obviously been very prominent in the hockey industry in the player agent role. But for Vancouver to do this, do you think it knocks down a few dominoes? And also on a bigger scale, it's a conversation. We're going to have some you know, pretty big names next week, not to humble brag or anything. Do you think that this could lead to Vancouver looking at a full-time female GM and, you know, just really shaking up the front office as a whole?
I mean, it's a possibility. I really love this move because you look at in the last, let's say even, you know, 20, 30 years, when have the Canucks been the most dominant? When they had an agent, an analytics person, and someone who was really good at working around the cap in office, right? It was Gillis, Gilman, and, you know, whoever else the staff were who were good at, you know, the contract and cap stuff there with Gillis. And then early, I mean, they were one of the pioneers for analytics at the time where Mike Gillis was doing a bunch of stuff that, you know, at the time didn't work, but a lot of, you know, weird out there things at the time to really just try to get any edge, you know, to win off the ice and training and stuff like that with his teams too. So I really like going this route, at least as the assistant for now. What I love about Rutherford is there's no ego here, right? Like he's done his job in the National Hockey League. This is kind of his, I picture one of his last swan songs where he sets up this franchise for success, getting all the pieces, you know, set in place for the future. So to answer your question, long and the short of it, I do think that Emily could be the full-time general manager down the road. And, you know, I say down the road, and it could be an early road. It could be a short road there in a couple of years. This season for the Vancouver Canucks, whether they make the playoffs or not, whether they squeeze in and make a run or not, it doesn't really matter. I think from a fan point of view, you obviously want to see your team win. But if you're like, you know, a super hockey nerd and you're really following the ins and outs of what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks, you're seeing that, okay, this year, whatever happens, you know, the changes were already made. And, you know, Benning, and you know, he's the one who set up this season. He's gone now. And now Boudreau's kind of trying to keep the ship, you know, afloat and getting the best out of this group. But changes are going to be made moving forward because of obviously management changes and front office changes. And next year onward is when you really, you can start to critique and start to see, okay, what is this new management group going to do? And, you know, the fruits of their labor start to blossom. So I'm just excited as a Vancouver Canucks fan who, let's be honest, for the last 10 years, it's been horrible. And I haven't been as critical as Benning as everybody else, but as soon as we signed Tanner Pearson, I was done.
Well, you got to remember that Castro and Gay took the Canucks behind the barn with Anton Roussel as well, bent him over for a 4x12. That's a nice little how are you payday. But I wasn't even meaning like her moving up the ladder. Like I could honestly see them, and it sounds crazy in a sense, but you know, I think Jim Rutherford still has that interim tag, correct? So, you know, maybe it is. They're going to replace him with another female, and now you've got multiple women in charge of the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, you know, as you said, they've been at a low for the past 5-10 years. It's not like, how could it be worse? It's almost like, how can you do something different? And that would absolutely change the game. I think that's, you know, something for sure.
100%. And again, for me, like, I just like take gender out of the equation. They've all come from different backgrounds. Whereas like Jim Benning's group, other than Judd Brackett, who he's with the Minnesota Wild now, and look how well they're drafting. So it says a lot about like maybe Jim Benning hampering his say with the Vancouver Canucks, really, you know, wanting to have more of a voice there, because Jim Benning went off the wall a few times in the draft, which, I mean, it worked out with Pettersson, but let's be honest, some of the other picks weren't that great coming from the draft guy from Buffalo. But I digress. I think, you know, at the end of the day, you bring in diversity, but in skills. And, you know, the fact that these women are paving the way in the National Hockey League, that's amazing. And as someone who's a Canucks fan, I'm even happier that it's happening with my organization. But, you know, to be perfectly honest, I could care, you know, what the gender is, as long as they bring something to the table and aren't stale as what the Canucks general manager and management team have been bringing the last decade to this team.
Yeah, I mean, well said. I can't really say it any better. Okay, I've kept you for long enough, but I got two more things that I did jot down and I really want to talk to you about. I want to give you the floor, too, because I didn't know how much of a music guy you are, but I saw on Twitter you were retweeting a couple of things. You got some vlogs. You got a little bit of a band going on as well. What, I mean, just tell the people, like, what else are you getting involved? I've always known the hockey side of you, but the other side's so interesting, too, man.
Dude, the only reason I know how to edit is because when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be a rock star. Like, that's early awesome. On, I was playing music at, like, 15, you know, local shows and, you know, open mics and stuff like that, you know, in high school and whatnot. And I was recording music and producing music at a young age. So that's where I kind of got my my niche in editing, because recording or, you know, editing audio is way easier than editing music and producing music. So I actually started, yeah, doing music from a young age, and before going to university and really finding my niche in, you know, the media side of things, like I said, Cody, I thought I was going to be a rock star. I moved to Calgary, joined a band, toured all around, you know, southern Alberta, pretty much like 3 shows a week sort of thing. And when the rock star dream didn't happen, you know, went to university and, you know, kind of applied some of those skills now to media. But yeah, one of my bandmates actually in Calgary, 10 years later, moved to Vancouver Island. And I've, you know, I love doing podcasting. I love editing media, but that's the day job, right? I started getting into filming now just as the hobby, and him and I are back in the studio re-recording a lot of the songs that we wrote years and years ago. And I got him a camera for Christmas because he fell in love with vlogging as well. So we launched a YouTube channel promoting his albums. He's had like 6 albums. His name's Kyle Mudge. He's had 6 albums since the last time we jammed together and played shows 10 years ago in Calgary. And so we're using this as a fun vehicle for me to edit video and vlog and just, you know, a fun hobby to do outside of the day job. And he's really loving the promotion and, you know, alongside for the ride as well. So you can find that on YouTube and Facebook at the City Life Project.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I wanted to give you some love there, too, because I checked it out, and it's awesome. It's cool to see people diversify what they're into and not just stay down one lane. Also, the Olympics are coming up. I got to get your medal predictions now, because it's only, like, you know, 7 days away, I think, from when the Olympics actually start. Like, that's insane to me. I don't believe it's true. But, okay, 7 days away. Give me your golds, or your medals, I guess, for the Olympics.
All right, so I don't know how much of the men's teams will be watching now, but gold for, you know, oh, Canada, baby, for the women's team, 100%. I think Finland takes silver.
No, they left their best goalie at home. No chance. Don't be silly.
I still think they're taking silver, and I think the freaking Olympic athletes take number 3 for the women.
Wow. USA, don't you?
Oh, Hoppy's probably listening to this, and he's not going to hear me.
I love it.
The USA. okay, as I see here, the THPN USA hoodie on our from our Teespring website. And then on the men's side, it's hard, man, because I haven't done a deep dive into the roster yet, but, I mean, Canada, I want to say, actually, we both know, Sweden, gold, Olympic athletes, silver, Canada, bronze. No love for USA.
I don't hate that, but, I mean, I think that's either Russia or Canada winning gold this year. I think
Russia's not there, buddy. Get it right. Don't give them any love. They are the Olympic athletes.
Yeah, that's the biggest crock ever. Okay, though, I'm just going to pitch you one thing. Olympic watch parties for THPN. I mean, you can chalk me in. You can chalk that around there, and, you know, Janner's going to be there.
Done, because we got a few. We got a few throughout that's the awesome. Olympics, if anyone... If anyone wants to go check out our YouTube channel, what a bit, we will have more original content coming out in the summer, but Cody, if you don't mind me plugging one more thing here, because yeah, we will have watch alongs on the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube channel. Just look up THPN or the Hockey Podcast Network. We're almost at 1,000 subscribers. So any last push there will help. And basically we have a watch along, sometimes 2, for any NHL game every single day of the week. So join the conversation, the live reaction, the chat's always buzzing. We have an awesome just viewer community there now, and some of the great hosts, you know, from all the podcasts on the networks chime in. You can find Dylan and myself usually doing a Canucks one here and there. And like Cody said, during the Olympics, you know, we're sprinkling in Olympic watch parties as well. As NHL ones every single day. I know some of the time, you know, the times are a little crazy for the games.
We'll grind it out. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Well, I think most of them are going to be in the early morning. So sit back, enjoy some coffee, and, you know, join in on the conversation on the THPN YouTube channel.
Bailey's is allowed. Also, if you're watching World Hockey Report, you better damn well be subscribed to the Hockey Podcast Network YouTube page. All right, we got to wrap it up here, World Hockey Report. Cody James, and we are presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Be sure to use promo code THPN on DraftKings. And don't forget, go check out Pro Rock Hockey Sticks today and Sports Travel Tours. Huge thanks to Henry Wright and Evan Cook for making this possible. Until next week, everyone, be kind, be better.